Hi, friends. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Dave. I'm on the ministry team here. And I just want to say to those perhaps who are newer to our community, thanks for coming along with us. You've found Living Waters at a great time of year. And if we've not met, I'd love the chance to do so. Information is on our team page on our website. And hey, I'd love to hear from you. Just so you know, plans are coming together nicely for our next newcomers life group, which my wife and I host near the end of September. And hey, perhaps you'd consider being a part of that. But again, welcome to all of you as we continue today in our four example series. We are seeing how Jesus' example, instruction, and strength is meant to always inform how we get along with our human relationships. And we've been looking at all kinds of various ways in which Jesus informs us as we serve practically in different roles. And today we're looking at the role of co-worker. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." Most everyone joining today is presently or certainly has been at one time a co-worker. Let me tell you a story. For 3 years during college, I worked at a lumber yard, hardware store. I was in the yard, responsible to help people fill their orders and load the trucks, and it was a fine job. From time to time, 4 to 6 of us would be selected by the manager to go on large delivery. And to be honest, when the finger got it pointed in my direction, honestly, I cringed, and I'll tell you why. The reason teams were sent was because drywall was needed to be lifted to various floors in houses that are newly built, buildings or apartment buildings and such. And so it would take a lot of manual lifting, and drywall is best done lifted in pairs. But that's not how it played out every time the 4 to 6 of us took on the job. And it was certainly no doing of mine. It seemed whenever we landed and finally arrived and got out of the truck on the construction site, something odd happened to everybody but me. It seemed that there was huge amounts of testosterone that just seemed to engage the other team workers, and this never found its way towards me. Sounds humorous, maybe being a little too honest today, but it's how I experienced it. The thought of carrying drywall for some just energized them. And what seemed to unfold was this thought that there's no really idea of co-worker. It was more of co-competitor. For what happened each of those times was this big game unfolded of competition. And you could never ask for help. And unfortunately, I never won the sport. I never won the day. I can remember multiple times of wanting to tear the pieces of drywall so there'd be one piece instead of two. And that in the competition was a no-no. And certainly the fire-rated 10-foot sheets created the larger challenge of trying to get it up the stairways. But to summarize a long, sad, sad story, as I dropped many pieces of drywall, I damaged the corner tips of many pieces of drywall. And to this day, I'm not sure how many people know except the purchaser. Sad story. I cringe even thinking about how alone I felt on those days when everybody was working so hard. Two things were in full display. Number one, pride. I never had the courage to ask for help. And secondly, there was this enormous sense of posturing for certainly the strongest one in the day at the expense of the weaker one. Well, that's not being a good co-worker. I think all of us have benefited from teamwork, co-work, co-laborer. We know when we experience it, we know when we see it, and wow, we sure know when we don't see it and don't experience it. Today, we're talking about being a coworker, participating in teamwork. So the question we ask as we begin today is, how do I become a capable and fruitful coworker? And so, of course, in this four example series, we are drawing our example from the Lord himself, and we're picking up as a key verse these last 7 weeks, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, which says this, "For we follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and we walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So the question is, how do we follow God's example as a coworker so that we get it right more often than we get it wrong? Well, God's co-work example is actually best seen through Jesus. God's co-work example is actually best seen in the Trinity, or seen through the life and ministry of Jesus on earth. Jesus' example and word and deed is seen by his way of recognition and submission to his heavenly Father. I think of things he said and things he did. Some of the things he said, John 10, 30, "I and the Father are one." We're co-workers, we're co-laborers. Luke 2, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" John 5, Jesus gave them this answer, "Verily, truly, I tell you, the Son of Man, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." Co-work. John 5, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him," or my Father, "who has sent me." God's co-work example is seen through Jesus' relationship with his heavenly Father. So Jesus came to earth, the gospel. He came as a co-worker to work among men and to do the work of his heavenly Father. And so deeply committed to that co-workmanship and co-laboring, he was obedient even unto the laying down of his life. Immediate, obvious, simple, profound example is perhaps simply stated, we follow Christ's example by laying down our lives for matters that are much greater than our own, and by doing so, we are God's co-workers. We are co-workers. Secondly, we follow God's example coming alongside all of humanity, or one another, as that is said in Scripture in a number of places. As Christians, now hear this, as Christians, we have been elevated to a role and responsibility of God's co-worker, his fellow worker, his associate, his helper. Now that's a complex thing to unpack. God with humanity, we won't go there today, but we will appreciate again our text that says, we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Well, to be honest, there are times when I think about how I'm doing as God's co-worker in God's service, and I often think it'd be so much easier if God just did it himself. You ever feel like that when you work with someone? I sometimes think it would be just so much easier if God just kind of did it all himself. But yet, the longer we serve the Lord, we appreciate more deeply and more beautifully that God invites us into a co-work relationship that is so good for us. It deepens our relationship, our dependency, our well-being, and our growth in Christ. So God comes knocking on the hearts and lives of all people, calling us positionally into a childlike relationship with him, and then relationally by way of example and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And how generous and gracious that we are given power to carry out the task of co-worker. Never asked to do that co-work and that co-laboring with strength of our own. We have so little to offer. God has so much to give us to help us be his co-worker. So the descriptive words here are quite interesting. We are co-workers in God's service. So more than the play on words or nuances here, this illustration speaks of tilled field and cultivated field, and that God is working within us so that our lives are to always be that which are likened to being prepared and nourishment for others. A life that others can pick from or draw from or receive from or be enriched by. We are God's field and God's building. We are God's field. Last weekend, Julie and I were driving along 0 Ave and 8th Ave in that area, like Langley, Abbotsford, into Chilliwack, and we saw multiple blueberry farms that are ripe and ready for harvest. They are ready to be picked. They are ready for their serve. And it's likened here, God saying, you are that type of field that I would work within, that I would prepare, so I would cultivate, so that others in their co-work can draw from the resource and the fruit and the benefit and the nourishment that comes from being a ripe field. Secondly, God says you are God's building, and that is likened to a temple or to a construct on earth that carries the presence of a living God. We are co-workers that are a cultivated field so that people can draw the resources and nourishment from. We are God's building so that people can draw strength and imagination of the presence and life of God through the work of the Holy Spirit through us. We're co-workers. We're a field. We're a building. But yet God has discharged this for us of all, again, the ways that God could have done it. He invites us into the role of co-workers. So again, in order to appreciate this, let me just share 5 practical ideas with you. The first one is this. In order to be a good co-worker in God's service, field and building, we need a good theology of work and service. But what do I mean? The word vocation, the term we use to describe what someone does for a living, is actually drawn from a Latin word which translates calling. It's the same word Paul uses in Scripture to describe work inside the church or for the church and work that is done out in the marketplace. And it's the same word that is derived from vocation or calling upon a person's life. So during our lives, a person, a Christian, is to be thought of as of a person that is walking out their vocation or walking out the calling upon their life. While discovering God's will, it's not meant to be mysterious or confusing. We do have to wrestle this ground to be able to, with humility, say that we are walking according to our vocation and calling, but yet it's possible. And we do so with humility, not by sort of posturing or comparison. We do so with humility. Say, I am walking out the vocation that God, or I am walking out an expression of the work that God has for me to do. It's a beautiful thing. In God's service, again, notice the language. We are in God's service. The distinguishing is important here. It's God serving through us. God taking care of others through us. God taking care of the world through us in God's service as he uses our gifts and talents, our time, and of course, our calling to take care of things that are on God's mind and important to God. So again, God cares for and serves his world and people through his co-workers. And think about this very, very practically. Think of the healthcare and the physician that cares for us, God caring for us. I was at the doctor a couple weeks ago to figure something out of something that was happening on my skin. It ends up being nothing, but I benefited from God's care through my doctor. Think about a farmer and the farmer that has all those blueberry fields that we can go, and because of their good work, we can benefit and be cared for through the work of the farmer. Think of sales and retail. The work that they do allows us to find access to things that we need to take care of ourselves. We buy them and take care of ourselves. We think of designers and seamstresses and clothing. We think about engineers and carpenters that build our homes and prepare our roads so that we are safe and we have a place to live. I think of teachers that provide education and teach us things, social services, the scientists that provide medicine. I think of the creative types that write music, poetry, and literature to help us appreciate things that we may miss otherwise. I think of public officials that help govern and protect our land. I think of those that under-shepherds that God calls to serve within the church. Co-workers in God's service of care and provision for his world. So this requires us to value and respect and honor those around us that serve us by doing so and are being used by God to care for people on his earth and to care for us. We are asked to appreciate that we are God's co-worker, but so are a lot of other people. And we benefit from that. So we're encouraged to give ourselves and our entirety to God and encourage others to do the same. It's as we do this, we will all get to know God and appreciate his many co-workers, not just with a conscious awareness and in prayer, but also in a deep, rudimentary way by participating with God and building his world, by growing things, building things, carving things, creating things, cleaning things, painting things, writing things, raising children, nursing bodies, teaching others, consoling others, humoring others, struggling with others, and loving others. Work, like prayer, is a privileged way to get to know God, because when we are working, we are toiling in partnership with God. We are co-workers. Secondly, we must let God speak a new name over us. A little repetitive here, but it needs to be said again. We need to let God speak a new name over us. We are God's co-workers in service. We are God's field and God's building. Friends, we as all people are God's image bearers. We've been given by God's divine design a heart to work and create and improve things in this world. I don't think you've ever met someone who has not found great satisfaction from a job well done or fixing something that was broken. I think inherently within every person, by God's divine design, there is desire to participate in workful work that is meaningful, the longing to be about something bigger than ourselves. We all want a sense that even the tedium of our jobs and daily routines serve a purpose. We want to make a positive impact in the world and collaborate with others who have a heart to do the same and want to reach common goals. So we're well to put a name on that. You are God's co-worker in service. You are a field that is to be cultivated and a building that's to be filled with God's holy presence and God's divine fruit. Years ago, Dorothy Sayers wrote, "Work is to be seen not as a necessary drudgery to be undergone for the purpose of making money, but as a way of life in which the nature of man should find its proper existence and delight and so fulfill itself for the glory of God. It should, in fact, be thought of as a creative activity undertaken for the love of work itself, and man made in God's image should make things as God makes them for the sake of doing well a thing that is well worth doing." Thirdly, we need to keep shifting our focus. Be wise to always be changing our focus from looking out for ourselves to unashamedly serving others or serving our co-workers. It's what Jesus did. He came to serve for our benefit. And we have been called to serve for the benefit of other co-workers. Concern for how we look to others and how often we are recognized for our contribution can steal precious energy from serving others. Co-workers are not competitors. They are to be thought of as our complement. So to get there, we need to deal with our own pride and tendencies for posturing by purposefully asking for help or by soliciting feedback from others. Finding practical ways for others to be our co-worker, by finding ways to be a co-worker, by celebrating, promoting, assisting others. For co-workers are not our rivals, they are God's appointed relationships, and we are to find a human bond of shared value and work with our co-workers. Years ago, when I took a gap year out of high school, I worked at a electronics manufacturing plant. I worked in shipping and receiving. I actually worked alone a lot. I was 19 years old, and I worked with middle-aged or older people. I was the odd person out. And coming out of high school, I'd never worked 9 to 5 Monday to Friday. Because I often worked in isolation and shipping and receiving, I'd head to the lunchroom at lunch where the floor service team would gather, a little removed from management, a little removed from the engineers. So we all kind of, who worked the floor, got together. And what I noticed often over and over again was something that was actually quite sad. Was there was a tremendous amount of synergy and energy and bond that existed amongst those co-workers because of the activity of gossip and slander. You'd sit down and there wasn't much that many people had in common, unfortunately, in that context, except for gossip. And man, the room filled with energy when this person talked about that person, and this person talked about the floor manager, and this person talked about the incompetent engineer or the understated and hard-hearted manager or owner of the business. And there, I observed early on in a work-life career or work life that there are certain teams that bond around the wrong things, and that team bonded around gossip at the expense of so many things. This is not what we are called to do as Christians. I ended up not going to the lunchroom for work because it was so discouraging, and I'm sure at some point they talked about me and my incompetencies. We need to shift our focus back to why we're there and who we're there with. Fourthly, we need to walk in the way of love every time. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, we follow God's example as dearly loved children and we walk in the way of love. As a co-worker, we always walk in the way of love every time. God places us in relationships so we will bond by learning dependence and we will bond through generosity and through loving kinds of word and deed. We're bonding right now with a neighbor as we plan our street barbecue in December. We're not bonding around gossip of neighbors. We're bonding around good deed, love, and good deed. And that's what the Lord asks us to do. Fourthly, and finally, we are to pray more and complain less about our co-workers. Colossians 1:9 says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." That's generosity. One of the most generous, kind actions of word and in deed that anyone can do for a co-worker is to pray for them by name and according to their need. We are called to pray more and complain less. See, often the softness or the softening of our hearts towards someone within our family, within our work situations, you put a name on that person, is the result of prayer. Repetitive prayer for someone will expose us to our Father's love for that person over and over again, and it will change us over a period of time. We pray more and complain less. So in closing, As we consider the multiple ways this could be applied, let me narrowly apply this just for a moment. Let's talk about your co-work and co-labor at Living Waters Church. As we imagine the end of this summer and as we begin this fall together, the Lord has laid so many wonderful ideas and thoughts and ministries and opportunities in front of us. And in order for God's work to get done, we need more co-laborers. We need more co-workers. And I know that God has uniquely gifted and chosen you to come along with Living Waters for such a time as this. I want to encourage you to roll up your sleeves. I want to encourage you to raise a hand. I want to encourage you from this day forward to make yourself available. Take the initiative to inquire about specific needs that we presently have as a community. There are many. There are opportunities to serve week after week, to serve weekly, biweekly, monthly, and beyond. We need you, and we need your co-work to come alongside the work that is presently being done. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to come. Roll up our sleeves. Let's get busy doing the work that God has for us. At this time, we're going to hear from Benson. Benson is my co-worker. Well, actually, Benson is our co-worker as we work together in the sight of God for God's glory and for people's benefit. We're going to hear now from Benson and his experience about being a co-worker amongst us at Living Waters Church.
Dear co-workers and laborers, it has been an amazing opportunity, blessing, and privilege to be included and participate in the amazing work that God is doing here through you. Every day, I am reminded that each one of us has been uniquely made by God and gifted by the Holy Spirit to reflect the character of Jesus to the world. While there is much we can do alone, God invites us into a family and body through which we can accomplish so much more. My co-workers, I thank you for the support, trust, and community that I have experienced from you all. Every day as we work towards our common goal, I find great joy and comfort in knowing that you are all in the trenches alongside me. Even when things are difficult, your words of encouragement lift and your enthusiasm and passion inspire me. As part of a community as large as ours, I know that I can only play a small part within the music network. However, I've also realized that God has placed us together in our roles and responsibilities to impact and support each other for the better. I feel the strength and support of each one of you in your roles as I carry out mine. From the way that the welcome team invites and greets those at the doors, to the kids' ministry volunteers in the lower floor and nursery taking care of little ones, to life groups engaging people in the community midweek, and local work teams reaching and serving our local community. There are so many ways that we can work together to serve the Lord, and each role is important to the work that He has before us. How amazing are the fruits of the labor as a result of our participation in the work of Christ. I'm certain that God has even greater things ahead for us as we work together. Therefore, let us lean even deeper into the mission, purpose, and work that God has laid out ahead of us this coming summer and fall. Let us come together, let us roll up our sleeves and experience the blessing and goodness that comes from participating in the work of God together. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says this, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building."